Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We'll get back into the Chris Jones topic during our 8:30 segment. But there's some just fantastic reaction. People giving all kinds of financial advice to those who maybe are buying tickets and can't afford them. Hey, if you're only buying stuff you can afford, congratulations to you.
Yeah, when was the last time you made a financial decision because you could afford it? Nah, put it on the credit card.
You are fantastic. And hey, there are those people out there, and kudos to you.
Dave Ramsey's hosting a lot of those events around town.
There are a lot of us over our skis. Yeah,
Most of America is living over their means.
Yes. And you can call us idiots if you'd like. That's fine.
But that's the way America works.
I'm definitely an
idiot.
I'll
pay for it later.
Yeah. Or not. Your kids will pay for it.
I'm
going
to buy it now and pay for it later.
Yeah. We've been having layaway in this country, and then it moved into credit cards, and then it moved into 24 months. How many of you owe money to Nebraska Furniture Mart for stuff that you bought that you really didn't need?
But there's like, no interest.
That's free money. Right. Yeah, it's free money. You're like, well, I mean, I got 24 months to pay for this couch I really don't need, and it's only like $30 a month. I'm in.
Yes, that's free money. That's totally different.
And then you pay like $800 that last month.
Yeah, right.
Oh, this is the last month. Oh, better get
crap.
On this.
Yeah, better get on this. But that's what happens. I mean, we all take advantage of stuff like that.
Speaking of free money, how about $10 to Slim Chickens?
Ooh, boom! I just had some Slim Chickens just the other day.
Your 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening. Ryan, make it simple to win.
I do like to make it super simple on the people. All you have to do is listen and dial. Listen for this. Goodbye to you, sir. Next time you hear that, be caller numero
10.
Caller number 10, 913-576-7610. The next time you hear that drop, I'm going to hook you up with $10 to Slim Chickens. Go out there, shove some chicken in your face. I recommend the Korean barbecue dipping sauce. Ooh. Very, very delicious.
Sounds terrific.
Very
delicious.
The drop was that Ken Kerman guy in Cleveland, radio host in Cleveland, who had a Fesco-like meltdown this week, which was terrific. Is he okay?
I don't know. I haven't checked in on him. Living in Cleveland.
Make sure he's okay. I really like this one, too. There was the caller we had that said he was, when he was a student at Iowa State, he used to upsell his tickets when Nebraska and Texas would come to town. I love this one. Hey, this ain't Iowa State. This is for the text line, 69306. There's a responsibility for the fan in the stands because the players are counting on your crowd participation.
But if they're counting on the crowd participation, then that's on them.
And if you don't believe that, it matters, then you are wrong. Hence the reason why there's a saying called the 12th man.
Okay, sir.
That's at Texas A&M, and I believe it's Seattle.
Seattle pays Texas A&M to use the 12th man.
This ain't Seattle, man. This ain't Iowa State. I love this one, too.
Yeah.
If you absolutely need to make your money back from tickets you paid for, then maybe you should be getting money advice from somebody because that's just irresponsible and idiotic.
It's all facts right there, but.
Yes, it is. But stop.
I mean, okay, are you living within your means? Like, you've never overspent?
I've never purchased anything I can't afford.
Yeah, right. How many of you are living in a house that you don't need right now and with a mortgage that's probably too big when you could downsize and live in a house that's not, you know, trying to keep up with, especially in Johnson County?
Bob, consolidating debt doesn't fix a problem. Pay off all your debt. It's all behavior. it's good to know Chris Jones has struck a chord in various ways.
It really is, isn't it? It really is. Unbelievable.
I love So everybody, there should just pass out literature at Arrowhead, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Pass out financial sound advice literature.
Because everybody at the NFL stadium, no matter what NFL stadium is there because they can afford it. We all overspend in America.
Time to talk to Joe Mays. Joe brought to you each and every week by the Alea Center located at 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC.
Yeah, Joe, it is time to talk to my man. And, you know, the big conversation this week has been about the crowd, man. What do you make as a former player of the crowd environment that we saw at Arrowhead? Does it make you mad? Does it tick you off? What, just give us your thoughts on that.
Nah, man, it doesn't make you mad. I mean, you know what? The fans, they can react however they want to react. You know, that's that they have their right to do so. It doesn't make you mad. It just is what it is. You know, all our job to do is to come out there and play ball.
That's exactly right. So it doesn't matter if there's more Viking fans in the crowd or more Chiefs fans in the crowd, or in this case in Nashville, there's going to be more Chiefs fans in the crowd than Titans fans. Like, you guys don't necessarily care about that if you're playing.
No, we don't pay any attention to that. I mean, you know, our job is to go out there, play ball, and get a win. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that we're focusing on. That's the only thing that matters. Of course, you want your fans to be in the game. You want all of your fans to be, you know, to fill the stadium. But, I mean, like I said before, you know, it's all professionals. And all of these professional teams, their fans, they travel all across, you know, all across the country to go and see that team play, especially when they're playing the Chiefs.
Yeah, and it's a good environment to come to and a good environment to be part of. And I think if you're doing your job as the professional athlete, then the fans will be there and then they'll come and you'll have nothing to worry about.
Exactly. And that's the whole point to it. You know, you go out there, you play ball, you do your best. The fans are going to continue to show up. They're going to continue to, you know, root you on, cheer you on, and you know, try to help you get the W. So, yeah, man. I mean, that's okay. You know, it's okay for other teams' fans to come in town. You just make sure they leave, you know, sad, mad, and get their week started on a bad note.
There were plenty of good things that happened on the field last week for the Chiefs. Joe, Fesco and I got really geeked out, though, by the play of the nose tackle, Derek Nnadi, last week. How good was he?
He was really good, man. I mean, when it comes to, you know, those guys being up front and defending the run and making sure that they're doing everything possible to keep, you know, linemen off the linebackers, you know, you always enjoy that from a D tackle. But when he's making plays, too, I mean, that's just the added bonus. And, you know, that's the entire reason why they brought this guy in. You know, they brought him in to be a run stuffer, to, you know, take up blocks, to make plays whenever his opportunity is shown. And, you know, he showed that yesterday. So, you know, you're hoping that, I mean, not yesterday, but this past game. So you're hoping that, you know, he's going to continue to show that, you know, throughout the rest of the season. And, yeah, man, continue to show his potential.
So I had somebody tell me that he's one of the better run stoppers in the NFL. From a linebacker standpoint, if you're playing behind a guy like Derek Nnadi who's doing that kind of stuff, how much easier is your gig?
It's super easy because now you got a big body in front of you. And he can't just take up one blocker because he eat up one blocker really, really quick. So he has to take two. So that leaves me free and open. So now I can be free to roam and make plays and not have to worry about, you know, having the offensive lineman right in my pocket. And that makes my job, you know, pretty easy and pretty simple to know that he's going to take those guys for me and allow me to go out and make more plays. So, I mean, you enjoy playing behind guys like that, you know, guys that can take up blockers, whether they're big run stuffers or guys that can really get off the ball as quick as possible. And they demand, you know, to have four hands instead of two hands.
Chris Jones back in the lineup and looked like it made an immediate impact. What makes him so big to this defense?
He sets the tone. You know, he's the guy that really gets the defense going. And it's no better guy to have than to have someone up front that's wreaking havoc and being able to make plays the way that he does. And, I mean, you know, he's shown time and time again over the years that he's a very, you know, very valuable player, maybe the most valuable player that's on that defense. So to see him come back and to make plays and get that sack, it was pretty awesome.
I mean, you watch him play and you see the eight quarterback hurries, but you also see him doing great things in the run game as well. Was there a guy that you played with that you just kind of marveled at each and every week and went, man, I can't believe I'm playing with a guy like this?
It was a couple of guys. The first guy is Von Miller, you know, to see that guy play in action and to see him, you know, be as fast and as quick as he is and also have that power, it was unbelievable. The next guy was J.J. Watt. I mean, you know, you wonder why, you know, the guys are as successful as they are. It's because of their work ethic. You know, J.J. Watt, he worked every single day after practice, before practice. You know, he was always the first guy on the field and the last one to leave, and it showed in the games because he was unstoppable. So, you know, playing around those guys, you get a chance to learn a little bit, you know, about work, you know, hard work and preparation and, you know, seeing what they put into their game plan and why they become as unstoppable as they are.
Are you good with sitting Patrick for one more week?
I think so, man. Last week the Chiefs have they shown that they can run the ball, and I think that's been the biggest question mark. You know, it's showing that you're able to run the ball to take a little bit of pressure off of Matt Moore, who's been playing very well, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they've shown that they can run the ball. They've shown that they can take up a little bit of clock. So I'm okay with sitting him. I'm okay with allowing him to recover and make sure that he's 100% healthy.
Yeah, because it's just not for this week or this year. It's a long-term thing. And I'm okay slow playing this thing for one more week to see where we can get, because, you know, Andy Reid has been just a genius with the play calling and putting people in position to be successful. Matt Moore's been outstanding. Like, obviously you miss Mahomes, but you really haven't missed that much of a beat with Matt Moore playing quarterback. He's been that good for you.
Yes, I mean, and like you said, like you just said, I mean, Coach Reed, you know, Matt Moore has Coach Reed, and that's why he's so successful, because Coach Reed, he's a quarterback whisperer. You know, he makes sure he gets those guys, you know, really going at the beginning of the week, knowing the game plan inside and out, knowing what their job is going to be, and knowing the intricate details of every single thing that they're going to be doing out there on the field.
What?
So he's amazing at that.
Why, though? Like, how did he get so good at being that quarterback whisperer?
I don't know. I've always wondered. I mean, you know, he's always had a ton of quarterbacks that he's always, you know, been able to just, you know, sit down and really get them to be a player's coach out there on the field. And during my time in Philadelphia, I learned that when he had Donovan McNabb. I'm like, you know, you see McNabb, he go out there and he's super talented. He has the arm strength. He has everything that you need, but he was super smart as well. And you just have to credit that to Coach Reed because of the amount of ball that he's coached. I mean, he's been coaching for what, 40 years now, something like that?
Yeah.
It's just the experience that he has and, you know, the knowledge that he has and being able to implement that into each individual quarterback on every single team that he's coached. You know, it was some learning processes throughout that time. But, you know, for him to really single down and get each and every quarterback to be as successful as they are, I mean, hats off to him.
Joe, we appreciate the time, man. Enjoy the game. We'll talk to you again next week.
Appreciate you guys having me on, man.
You got it, man. Joe's appearance is brought to you by the Leia Center, located at 601 Walnut Street in downtown KC. Go get your cryo on, get your massage on, whatever you need. The Leia Center is phenomenal.
I forgot to play the drop, didn't I?
Oh, you did.
I did.
That's all right.
What caller were we looking for?
10.
All right, caller number 10 right now, 913-576-7610. I'll hook you up with whatever the heck it was. A Slim Chicken.
There you go.
Yeah,
Korean barbecue. That's like 10 minutes ago.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It's the Risk It for the Brisket next.
Fesco in the morning.
Brisket.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Hamburgers.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Barbecued beef ribs.
You gotta risk it to get the brisket.
Well, I hope you folks enjoyed yourselves. Get you later on down the trail.
Your chance to win Smokehouse Barbecue. It is Risk It for the Brisket each and every Friday at 8:15. One of us makes a weekend prediction. Monday at 8:15, you tell us who made the prediction. Did they get it right or wrong? And you can win yourself a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from Smokehouse Barbecue. It is fantastic because we don't have to be right.
We're never right.
You just have to remember who's wrong more often than not. And you can get yourself some Smokehouse Barbecue, but I'm hoping this week's picker is right.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
You don't think so? Happen. I'm going to go.
I mean, there's been weeks that we didn't remember who made the pick. There's been weeks where we picked something that was like a month away. It's just a real crapshoot.
Well, I mean, that's why we write it down now and we take care of everything. But that's what I'm going to do this week, make the pick. And here's the pick that I'm going to make this week. I am going to risk it and say Damian Williams will have another 100-yard game in a Chiefs victory.
So there you go. Remember Fesco. Damian Williams will have another 100-yard game and a Chiefs win. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
You don't like the feasibility of that one?
I think the Chiefs will win. I don't know if Damian Williams will.
All it takes is one big run, Ryan.
It takes 191 yards.
We felt great about Damian Williams.
And a whole bunch of yard and a half lunges.
Because he had 11 carries for 34 yards. Didn't matter. He had a 91-yarder.
Well, I hope he gets 50 carries in this game so he breaks that 100-yard plateau.
So Monday, 8:15, remember, Vasco says Damian Williams will have another 100-yard game and a Chiefs win. You tell him if he was right or wrong, and you can win yourself a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices to Smokehouse Barbecue. Patrick Mahomes remains a question mark heading into Sunday, and once again, full participant in practice yesterday, so all signs pointing to playing. You can have your own opinion on whether or not you want him to play. I've been firmly in the camp. I don't want him to play. I'll be disappointed if he plays. I would go ahead and take another week. But if he's ready to go, he's ready to go, and there's nothing we can do about it. But we can all talk about it, right?
Yeah.
Dominique Foxworth on ESPN.
It's a risky proposition. If they think this is their best chance to win a championship, I could understand putting them out. But 10 to 20%, that's too high for me. To re-injure this and maybe injure something else because you're compensating for that, I don't want Patrick Mahomes out there at this point because of what he may mean to your team going forward next year and years to come.
And that's the interesting thing that nobody thinks about. When you still have an injury and you're overcompensating for that injury, you could lead to injuring something else that isn't that same injury. And with Dominique Foxworth,
I think I do that all the time. With the ailing body parts.
Yeah, just think about yourself. Left side hurts today.
Now suddenly your right side. Why?
Because
I've been favoring the left side.
Right. Yeah. And I think the one thing that we don't factor in sometimes is that, like, you overcompensate. And Dominique Foxworth made a really good point there. He goes, with that 10 to 20%, what he's talking about, each week that goes by, you have a quote-unquote lesser percentage chance of getting re-injured.
I don't know who gives you those percentages, but
WebMD. Yeah, yeah. But they're saying, like, this week now he only has a 10 or 20% chance of getting re-injured, where last week it was like a 50% chance of getting re-injured. And Dominique Foxworth is right. Still a 10 to 20% chance that he could go out there and re-injure that. I'm not playing him until it's a 0% chance.
If those are the actual numbers, the physical actual numbers that the presenting doctor gave to you, would be a no-brainer.
Right.
I don't think it's that. So.
Somebody leaked that out. I think Jay Glazer started talking about that last week on one of the pregame shows, and everybody kind of picked that ball up and ran with it, and that's become kind of the gospel that everybody's living by. So let's say that is the case. Let's say the doctors did say this week there's only a 10 to 20% chance that he re-injures that knee. Okay, then I'm having a 0% chance. Yeah. He's not playing in this game.
That to me would be super
is too
definitive.
Big. Yeah. 10% is a too big a chance that he could still re-injure that knee. Well, he's got a 10 to 20% chance now. If he waits one more week, it goes down to a 0%. Well, then I'm going to wait one more week. Like 10 to 20%.
It probably won't ever be at zero.
Probably not. And you can get hurt in any game doing anything.
Give me the plus or minus 3% that we have in all the polling.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I'm probably a little.
One more week gives you the point of being perfect as you could be.
Yeah.
I'm going to wait that one more week because I'm with Dominique Foxworth. Even an 80 to 90% success rate in this one is still not good enough for a guy like Patrick Mahomes.
I just think that there is some validity, in my opinion, to the idea that, number one, Patrick Mahomes likely will not be 100% for the remainder of the season, right?
And there will always be a risk of re-injury for the remainder of the season.
And I think we get too
caught up.
So why
not push that risk off as long as you possibly can?
Look, I don't disagree with that sentiment. Now, I do think that your margin for error is starting to tighten up a little bit for the Chiefs, and I think that this game means more than the last two.
No question.
If the only reason you're trying to err on the side of caution with Patrick Mahomes, I feel like it's more important right now to get this victory than it is to err on the side of caution, because I think that right now you're being almost overly cautious, and I understand why, man. Like that's my quarterback,
mm-hmm.
right?
Like, this isn't an offensive lineman, you know.
So I understand the reason for being overly cautious, but I think two things. Number one, he's never going to be 100%, and I think that risk of dislocation or redislocation throughout the season will continue to be there. Like, it'll always be hanging over your head like that black cloud. Like, he could re-injure it. I think the other aspect of it is the fact that he was still hobbled on that high ankle sprain as well. So, like, I think while we sit around talking about risk of redislocation to that knee and all of these other factors into it, I think that that's another big portion of what's going into Andy Reid's decision.
Yeah, that's the thing we're not talking about, the ankle right now. Like, is the ankle getting healed? Is that thing better? Is that thing – maybe the ankle's more of a problem than the knee is right now.
Well, the ankle committee's been all over that one. I'm pretty confident of that one. Damian Woody of ESPN also – wouldn't start Pat.
If you look at Matt Moore over the last three games, he's played really good football. And part of the reason that I feel like they should not play Patrick Mahomes is because the defense is starting to come along right now.
Yeah.
You look at how they played last week against the Minnesota Vikings. They literally shut down Dalvin Cook. So if you can continue to get good quarterback play out of Matt Moore and the defense continue to come along, then why not get your guy healthy? Because the one aspect that makes Pat, there's a lot of aspects that make Patrick Mahomes special, but the one thing to me that really separates him from a lot of guys is his ability to get outside the pocket and make those spectacular plays. And if he's still dealing with – You hear Andy Reid talking about his knee?
Yeah.
Why would you put him out there if it's real shaky right now as far as his knee injury is concerned?
Don't do it.
Like, these are former players that are saying don't play him. They're usually the first guys that go, rub some dirt on it. I'm getting back out there, right?
Well, if he's an NBA guy, then definitely.
Well, that's
saying
true.
That,
if he's
right,
in the NBA, why aren't you playing? but usually former players are like, I played through all these injuries. Like, even former players are like, hang on a second here. This is the franchise. This is the face of the NFL. This is a guy that has a high, high, high ceiling and could have an amazing career in the NFL. There's no reason to risk it right now.
Dominique Foxworth says, don't risk your Super Bowl.
The only chance you have of winning the Super Bowl, I believe, is if you bring Patrick Mahomes back and you get that first round bye. And if you re-injure him, the assumption is, as long as Patrick Mahomes is okay with this, the assumption is if you re-injure him, you have an entire year to recover him. I think it's highly unlikely that he's going to have some sort of injury that's going to put him out for next season. So it's either you don't play him and you don't win the Super Bowl, or you play him, he gets hurt, win the Super Bowl.
Well,
that's
not,
all they care about in
well,
Kansas
I'm
City
not,
right
well,
now.
A lot of yelling there.
Well, Foxworth is doing a lot of doctoring, too. Which
yeah.
Is, you know, like, there's a lot of assumptions there.
Well, what he's saying is if you don't play Mahomes, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. And if you do play Mahomes and he gets hurt, you're not going to win the Super Bowl. So you're not going to win the Super Bowl is what you're saying?
That's probably true. I would think without Patrick Mahomes, they're not winning the Super
right.
Bowl. But
what do I know? I've been wrong a lot.
I've been trying to tell you that for years.
What?
What do you know?
No, not much.
That's true.
Yeah.
Big story.
My wife tells me every day.
Big story coming up. We'll also get back into Chris Jones and your feelings, and they've been a lot of strong ones about Chris Jones today, calling out Chiefs fans next.
First of all, I ain't no b***h.
Fesco in the morning.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Maybe they are playing a little bit coy, or it's a byproduct of it. Fesco has his throw rug? Is that what we're calling it?
That sounds right.
Yeah. He's picked out a throw rug.
I don't know. Maybe it's more like an area rug.
And he'll discuss coming up in just a few minutes. Time now, though, for the big story.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what...
Are you still talking?
On Fesco in the Morning.
Talking a lot of Chris Jones, the Chiefs defensive lineman, who Sunday, I thought, handled it well. Turned around and I went, uh-oh, when I heard this yesterday. So this was Sunday discussing how many people were in the stands at Arrowhead that weren't Chiefs fans. A lot of purple, of course, in the crowd.
Minnesota kind of pissed me off doing that in our state. I'm like, you're not going to come at Arrowhead and do that. You know what I mean? So we had to respond big.
So there you go.
There it is.
Minnesota.
That's good. Fine, yeah.
Minnesota.
No with that.
He was talking about the skull chain.
He was talking about the seals in the crowd.
Right?
Going, eight.
Okay. Cool. We can all agree. Like, hey, you don't do that in our house. Yesterday, though, it turned to you, and the you, I mean,
fans,
Chiefs fans.
Another thing, Chiefs Kingdom, we got to stop selling our tickets, especially home games. They're important to this community, to this organization. You can't sell your tickets. That was my first time this year that I ever seen that we had almost even amount of Viking fans in the stadium as Chiefs fans. It just can't happen. If you want this team to be successful, right, everyone plays a part in being successful, and especially the fans. And selling your tickets, it's not doing us any good.
When I saw that yesterday, I immediately just averted my eyes like, uh-oh, now you done it.
Can I be
honest?
Now
you done stepped in it.
Can I be honest? I didn't actually hear what he said there before, like the first time I was listening to it, because when Pete sent me the audio, there was like a basketball game going on in the background, and I was more caught up in the basketball game and listening to like the people hoot and holler about how good that was.
Yeah.
Than I was. Like, I was trying to like close my eyes and theater of the mind that basketball game into existence. I mean, there was.
And did you feel like after the game, was there extra soreness?
You can't tell me that dunk wasn't sick. Right? Listen again. I mean, listen to just the reaction.
Chris, how was the injury? And did you feel like after the game, was there extra soreness?
I mean, that is like 5 seconds of oohing and awing.
Yeah, there was a display of some dunking going on in the background.
Chris, how was the injury? And did you feel like after the game, was there extra soreness?
Yes! On his head!
Chris would have benefited had he turn the conversation that direction.
I wanted to know if there was extra soreness on the man gets got dunked on, not on Chris Jones.
Ooh, that had to hurt. So Sunday, I thought he handled it well. Like, he put it on Minnesota. You can't do that in our house. Yesterday, turned it on to fans. You can't sell your tickets. And I knew exactly what the reaction, as soon as he said, like, oh, no. Oh, no, yeah. You can't. You can't. You can't do that. Yes, we want an entire stadium of red. We do. We all do.
But Chiefs fans have been loud and proud for years, and the team has not exactly lived up to their home fans.
You can't say you can't make back
The fans have been much better than the team has over the last number of years at Arrowhead Stadium. AFC Championship game, couple of losses, three losses in a row this year at home. I mean, it's not exactly like the team has lived up to the fans at home. The fans have done an amazing job. Chris Jones and this group better play better at home, too. Oof.
So there's your big story, Chris Jones turning it on you, the fan. From the text line 69306, stadium's too big.
Way too big.
Fans could sell to other fans. Jones is right, but his delivery was off.
Yeah, the stadium is way too big. We talked about that. We talked about our solution for that earlier in the week when the Royals moved downtown in a couple of years and build a new stadium down there in the East Village area. Then you move and build a new Arrowhead Stadium. You take about 10,000 seats off of Arrowhead Stadium. It's too big now for any NFL venue. You're seeing the L.A. venue being built smaller than what Arrowhead is. You're seeing the Vegas venue being built smaller than what Arrowhead Stadium is. Arrowhead Stadium, quite honestly, is a dinosaur right now. It is way too big. Not just way too big for the market that it's in, but way too big for the landscape of sports right now, because the landscape of sports right now is maybe I'll go to one or two games, but the TV product is so much better, I'm going to stay at home. And I think games are expensive. You know, they start outpricing a lot of people who can't afford to go to games. I mean, you're seeing these tickets for Green Bay and Minnesota resold between $500 and $700. I mean, big-time prices for these tickets. So I think the days of cramming 80,000 people into a stadium for any venue in any sport, those days are done. I mean, Alabama's begging students to go to football games, and they're the number one team in the country. Kansas can't sell out basketball games.
They
got
to get the president there this weekend just to get a big crowd.
Yeah, right. No, I mean, but Kansas can't sell out basketball games anymore, okay? So it's not just unique to the Chiefs or Kansas City or anything like that. This is what sports is about right now. Venues are way too big for the current landscape in sports.
We had a lot of cracking earlier, too, on people who bought tickets and couldn't afford it. And if they needed to sell their tickets to get their money back, they made a bad financial decision. This in from a season ticket holder. I didn't need to sell my tickets, but selling my Green Bay and Minnesota tickets is going to pay for 90% of my season tickets for next year.
Well, yeah, then you'd sell it.
I'd say that's a smart financial choice.
Absolutely.
On your part.
That's a smart decision. So right? You're basically going to go to all the games next year for 10% of the cost.
So don't. Crack on bad financial plan. If you didn't turn around and sold it, seems like a smart financial plan.
Seems like a real smart financial plan.
You just finance your tickets for the next year.
Look, I've got some friends that sit down low that are well off, Josh, that have done good things in their career that are older and pushing retirement and have a lot of money, and they've decided they sold their tickets as well because they're in the same boat. Well, wait a second. If I sell these two games, I'd be foolish not to, because it could pay for my playoff tickets. It could pay for my trip to the Super Bowl. Maybe it pays for tickets for next year or whatever the case may be. I think no matter what financial standpoint you're in, you're always looking to make that better. And if you have an opportunity to flip your tickets to something for five times that amount, you're going to do that, just like you're going to do, with a stock or whatever the case may be. You got to look at your tickets as stock at times and say, right now it's high, sell high, sell high, sell high, because you're not going to get that kind of money in December for a Raiders game, but in October and November when the Packers and Vikings come to town and the weather's nice and teams have big fan bases that want to travel, hey, supply and demand, that's what it's all about.
It's not about paying too much for tickets and needing financial advice. If you can get half the season total after one game, it's stupid. Not even you who aren't hurting for money.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm at. It's right. Like, it's a good financial call. Either way.
I mean, we hear about it all the time, and you and I were talking about this off the air, but like back in the day, Nebraska fans used to join alumni associations for all kinds of crazy like road games. You mentioned Wake Forest or something. How many Nebraska fans are a member of the Wake Forest Alumni Association?
I just remember a game a few years ago where Nebraska was playing at Wake, and the only way to get tickets was to be like a season ticket holder. So a bunch of Nebraska fans just became joined the alumni association, got tickets, and then they donated a bunch of the tickets, like Boys and Girls Club or something, so the kids could go the rest of the year because they had season tickets and they really only buy the one Nebraska game.
Yeah.
I was thinking, like, man, I wonder, there's probably some Nebraska fans out there. This is a the extreme that belong to a lot of alumni associations
around
the country.
Yeah.
Just to be able to get tickets.
I mean, I have a friend that's a ticket broker, and he was telling me that back in the day when the Big 12 tournament was hot in town, that he joined alumni associations, and this was in the early days of the Big 12. He joined the Alumni Association of Texas, Texas A&M, and Baylor, and became members of those alumni associations so he could buy Big 12 tournament tickets out of the Alumni Association. So people will go to all kinds of lengths to get tickets and to be part of certain events. And if you have an opportunity to sell your tickets to somebody who truly wants to be there and is willing to pay top dollar, then you have to do that. And we talked to Joe Mays earlier in the show, former Chiefs linebacker, about this topic and asked him, do players care about visiting fans?
No, we don't pay any attention to that. I mean, you know, our job is to go out there, play ball, and get a win. And at the end of the day, that's the only thing that we're focusing on. That's the only thing that matters. Of course, you want your fans to be in the game. You want all of your fans to be, you know, to fill the stadium. But, I mean, like I said before, you know, it's all professionals. And all of these professional teams, their fans, they travel all across, you know, all across the country to go and see that team play, especially when they're playing the Chiefs.
So that's Joe May saying, no, it doesn't matter to us. You still got to go out there and play.
Matter to Chris Jones and to Damian Williams and some others who commented about it the other day.
Well, maybe they shouldn't worry about that. Maybe, just go out there and play.
Maybe that's valid.
Yeah.
Maybe. They used it as motivation, I thought, which was good. But if it got in their heads and affected them, then it's bad.
But did they need they hang on a second here. Doesn't that kind of make you a little angry, though, that they used opposing fans there as motivation? Like, if there weren't as many Viking fans there, would they not have had a game?
You use what you got, though.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Sure.
I can't tell you what they would have used had that not been the case. You use what you got.
But you should play the same every week, regardless of who.
Oh, stop it.
Sure you should.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, there's Viking fans here. We better play
pie in the sky thinking here. Just go out there and just go play for the love of the game every week. Oh. Come on. Come on. Be realistic here.
No,
Someone else says, I sold my Packers and Vikings tickets. Got $625 for my Packers tickets, $400 for the Viking game. Almost paid for the whole season. Definitely paid for my playoff tickets. Who's the smart money manager now?
Exactly.
Seemed like you sold high. You picked those 2 weeks.
Correct.
To sell. Chris Jones can buy tickets and then give them out. That'd be great.
That'd be great. Sure.
69306. I'm holding out for cheaper tickets. Someone says 69306. That might have been a shot of Chris Jones and a possible holdout.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just felt like it was I knew the reaction was going to get. I didn't feel it was smart. Don't turn it on the fans. You never just turn it on the fans.
No, you never do. You never turn on the fans, because once you do stuff like that, man, I got to be honest with you. It takes a lot to get those fans back. I think there's a lot of fans that are ticked off at Chris Jones right now who may have loved Chris Jones, but then he's going to say something like that, and that puts a bad image on them in their minds, and it may be tough for Chris Jones to win these fans back.
Like Frank Clark said it. That's Chris Jones. Like, people love Chris Jones.
I understand that, but people love you until you say something that pisses them off.
Nah, I feel like he's one of the few people on this team that could get away with saying it.
I don't know about that, man.
Well, he's going to be. I don't think anybody's going to ship him out of town because he said it, but I think you're wise. Someone said, well, what should he have said? What he should have said is, well, or if he was asked about it, I go, yeah, I was disappointed, but I get it.
Yeah.
Going to a game's expensive.
What he should have said is, I get it, and I can't wait to see all our fans in Nashville
weekend. I would like to see the entire stadium full, but I get it.
I don't think there's a delicate way to handle it, though. We were talking about it before the show. Like, what was it, 2014? Ned was talking about how he wished fans would show up and watch games because he thinks this team's going to be really special. Fast forward several months, and the team's winning a pennant. So, like, there were games that even he said, hey, I just wish our fans would show up. And the next day, you know, he's getting ripped by the paper. He's getting ripped by, you know, fans. He's getting ripped by everybody because you took it as a personal affront.
Well, he was getting ripped because as the local newspaper took it out of context and didn't play the entire comments, which we did that following day. And then when everybody heard his entire context, they realized, oh, yeah, he's not ripping the fans at all.
I just think that even when you phrase it in a delicate way,
in fact, that's the day
to try to
turn.
Not.
Yeah. That was the day that everybody started to love Ned because they realized the local paper was doing them wrong.
I just think that regardless of how you phrase it, like, it's still going to strike a nerve with people. It's calling you out, essentially. It's saying, hey, what the hell are you doing?
But
that's not the way we need to be doing
it. I think the way Ned did it was completely different. I think the way that the newspaper made it sound like Ned was criticizing the fans, but when you played those comments by Ned, he never said, you know, I'm disappointed in our fans. What Ned said, and I distinctly remember, because you're right, that was the day it all changed.
Yeah, that was the day it all changed. We flipped that one on its head.
Right, and what Ned said, he goes, man, I wish people were out here enjoying what we've got coming and what we're doing right now. I wish people were enjoying this. He wasn't ripping the fans at all. I don't think Chris Jones is necessarily ripping the fans either. I'm not saying he's ripping the fans. He's telling them they need to be there and not sell their tickets. Ned never said anything like that, but the local paper made it out to think that Ned was destroying the fan base. And that wasn't the case at all. That was fake news by the paper.
I still think, Bob, like, you know, we've had play the full comments situations here in the very recent memory as well. Even after you air full comments of things, they still don't hit everyone the same way, man.
No,
I mean, like,
no,
there's still
right.
people
right.
that think about the Tyreek Hill audio that way. There were still people that thought about Ned Yost the same way. Like, screw you, Ned. You're not going to rip us fans. We're just not going to go out there because we've had to deal with a decade.
I don't know how many people thought about that.
I think if you
Ned.
Listen to the show the day after that, we diffused that pretty good
we did.
4 hours.
For four
and
hours.
Probably another 4 hours after that.
Yeah.
That was a line in the sand type of day here on this show.
On this show, it was. It was a big day for us.
Yeah, can't go there with that one.
Yeah.
Chris, someone says, message to Chris Jones. Get your quarterback out there. We wouldn't sell our tickets. I like that one. Speaking of the quarterback, maybe they are playing a little bit coy with the quarterback right now. Certainly, the question marks have to go into the thinking of opposing teams, right? We've discussed that. You got to prepare for a couple quarterbacks. You don't know if Pat Mahomes is going to play or not. I don't think it's their intent. I feel like it's the byproduct. But Eric Bieniemy, the Chiefs offensive coordinator, says it's definitely an advantage.
I think it does give us a competitive edge because, first of all, they have no idea who's playing, and we're still waiting to see exactly what's going to take place this week. But what it does do, it builds character amongst our players. Our team is developing together. And I thought throughout that course, I thought those guys did a heck of a job of growing together, working together, developing chemistry together, and that was huge. Now we just need to make sure that we're continuing to continue with the positive flow that we have, but also understanding that, hey, we still got to work. We still got to focus on the little detail things that's going to help us to progress as the season goes along.
I like that they had campfires and s'mores without Pat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were all able to sit in a circle together and come together as one.
There's two sides of this. There's the one side where I'm like, that's awesome. They all came together without Pat. Then there's another side. I'm like, are they that good that they can come together without Pat? Like, is Andy Reid that good that they can do this without Pat?
He's good. But no, I mean, Pat's the hammer.
Isn't it crazy, though, like when you look at this offense to realize that they haven't really missed a beat and how good it's been? I think you look around the NFL and you take the starting quarterback away. Well, maybe not anymore because we've seen a lot of good backup play this year. But I think that you've seen good backup play from some really good head coaches in this league as well. I mean, obviously Sean Payton, what he did down there, what's going on here in Kansas City. I think Ron Rivera is an underrated coach.
Come on.
No.
Turn the corner on Doug Marrone.
No.
That kind of kills it then.
No. I mean,
stop you right there. You don't like Doug Marrone, and they had good quarterback play from their backup.
Did they have good quarterback
play?
Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, would it have been as good if he didn't have a mustache?
The mustachioed guy was fantastic.
If he didn't have a mustache, would he have been as good, though? You know what I'm like? It's like, he was all right. He was fine. They're going back to their starter.
Just say Doug Marrone. Just say it.
Buffon. But there's been some good backup quarterback play this year. There's not a lot of teams, though, where you can just rip the starting quarterback out and continue to move on like this. And I think it really is a tribute to Andy. And Bieniemy's right. Like, everybody just buying in and doing their job and focusing on what they can control has been so big through all of this. Because if there was a panic and everybody tried to do things they couldn't do, then it would be like if Travis Kelce tried to be quarterback and throw a pass, like since, you know, that Giant game, he hasn't thrown a pass.
Yes.
Like, if he tried to do stuff like that, this would be a bad deal. But everybody just kind of stayed the course, and that's a tribute to the coach. That's a tribute to the leadership that this organization has.
Yeah, I got
right
this
now.
Portion
yeah.
of Andy, which is a fantastic
it's
portion
big.
Of Andy. The advantage that it has of the other team not knowing the quarterback is, to me, a byproduct. It's an accidental advantage
right.
because I think there's a lot of situations, especially when you're talking like the Patriots or college football, where there's a lot of misdirection going on with injuries all the time, and they never want you to know who exactly is going to be there because you can game plan for them. I think it's just a byproduct. They truly are going through the day-to-day process of Patrick Mahomes' health, and the byproduct of that is teams have to prepare for both because they're not sure if he's going to play each
and every
week. A lot
of wasted time.
I think the Chiefs are actually going through the steps that it takes to see if he is ready to play, not as any type of diversion. It's just that's a nice little after effect of let's figure out if Pat's healthy while preparing Matt Moore, and then it ultimately forces teams to prepare for both quarterbacks.
Well, I would continue to do this for the rest of the season because you're you know, as Lou Brown once said, I'm for wasting sports writers' time,
I
right?
I am always for wasting
and
other teams' time.
If you got the opportunity to you know, each week, I don't know who's playing quarterback this week, and you're wasting the time, as we've talked about for years now with Andy Reid, you're winning these games on Monday and Tuesday because you're making these guys waste time on Monday and Tuesday preparing for things that maybe they don't need to be preparing for. And so if you can continue to string this along as long as you possibly can with maybe it's going to be Pat, maybe it's not going to be Pat, and continue to make teams prepare for two different quarterbacks, that's a good thing. And I would try to continue that as long as possible. I continue that into the Charger game next week down in Mexico City. If you've got the opportunity to still string this thing along and then make the Chargers have to prepare for another quarterback, I would make the Chargers have to prepare for another quarterback. So I think it is a great inadvertent way to have to waste somebody else's time. Like, you've got an advantage here right now that you weren't counting on, and you've got to take advantage of that advantage for as long as you possibly can. And that's why I continue to think if he's not quite 100% healthy, let's do this thing another week, because each week nobody knows, including your opponent, who they have to get ready for and who they have to prepare
for. Yeah, it's a fantastic spot to be in, because you're not trying to fool them. You honestly, you're going through the stages yourself.
Yeah, that's right.
And it just happens.
And it just happens to be messing with the other guy.
You are forcing them to prepare for an offense with Patrick Mahomes or an offense with Matt Moore.
Right. It's good. It's a good thing to have.
I'm certainly not as confident about this game as one Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network is, who's calling for a Chiefs rout.
Like Santa Claus, really. If you believe in him, he'll show up. And I think the Chiefs are lucky he showed up, because they should realize after the last couple weeks that they are a championship level team. If they didn't realize it already, if you can win with Matt Moore against quality competition, how good will they be this week when Patrick Mahomes should be back? Tyreek Hill is part of the reason I'm so big on this team down the stretch. He's really playing outstanding. And the whole offense makes a little more sense when Sammy Watkins is back as the number two. When they've really committed to Damian Williams at running back, but it starts with Hill, it starts with Mahomes. And even on defense, when Chris Jones was out, similar to losing Mahomes, they showed they're a little better this year on defense. Even without Chris Jones, he comes back last week. He's playing like a defensive player of the year. I love this team. I do not love the Titans, and I think the Chiefs roll, and Tony Romo has another blowout. He's had a lot this year.
The Chiefs roll, says Greg Rosenthal of NFL Network. A lot of stuff that I agree with in terms of the pieces that are there. I wish I was as confident about Sunday as he is. I feel like this is going to be pretty close to the vest game, a defense that doesn't give up a lot of points. They're under what, 18 and change a game that they give up.
Only five or six defenses give up fewer points than the Titans.
If they run the football, they have some ingredients which can give the Chiefs some trouble. I feel like a kind of close to the vest game that I'll just be happy that they come away with the win. If they roll, hey, more power to Greg Rosenthal for seeing it ahead of time. I'll be pleased if he's right.
But he's got a 31-20 final score prediction in this game, an 11-point win for the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's big on any level in the NFL. An 11-point win is pretty big. A lot of, you know, one possession
games.
Seven,
if that final seven comes in the last like 3 to 4 minutes, maybe.
Yeah,
but
right.
I feel like 24-20.
24-20 yeah.
feels a little more of in line with what I'm thinking.
Right, and then you've scored a touchdown more than what they're giving up. And he talked about, you know, Tyreek Hill being the difference maker in this one. But and a couple of weeks ago, I compared, you know, Sammy Watkins to the gravy on the Thanksgiving table, kind of, you know, bringing it all together. Or maybe you don't really need the gravy, but if it's there, you may use it. But Sammy Watkins over the last couple of weeks has just really impressed me. And it's okay to, you know, kind of change your opinion of somebody as a season goes along. I would hope everybody has changed their opinion, you know, on Eric Fisher and on Matt Moore and you know, on Chris Jones and on certain guys. Like, you know, you can change and reevaluate your opinion as a season or a career goes along based on what they do and how they get better or how they worse.
You don't have to have that initial opinion and then stick to it forever and ever and ever?
No.
Oh. You don't have to, like, bend over backwards to make points to, even if they're ridiculous, to be beholden to that first opinion?
No.
Really?
Yeah. Who said that?
I thought that's what sports was about. You have to. No,
you're allowed to reevaluate and look at things and
cool, that's good.
You know what? Maybe I was wrong here. It's okay to admit like a wrong or a change or something different happened.
I was checking.
But I think the way Sammy Watkins played, especially last week, I thought last week, again, I talk about Damian Williams and you just like somebody just makes an impact on you and you just like him. Last week, Sammy Watkins had that effect on me where I thought Sammy Watkins was brilliant in that game. And I know everybody's talking about how good Tyreek Hill was and did Damian Williams run and Travis Kelce make him. I thought Sammy Watkins was the reason why they ended up winning that game. He came up with some big catches as well.
And, he's good.
I thought he just had a very nice game. And when Sammy Watkins is healthy, then Tyreek Hill can become better because then now all of a sudden you got two guys with a lot of speed that can get deep on you. So you can't roll both of your safeties over to Tyreek Hill and then leave Sammy Watkins wide open. So if you got Tyreek Hill one-on-one, you got a great opportunity to take advantage of that kind of mismatch, plus with Travis Kelce in there as well and Damian Williams doing some good things. Like, I think ultimately, as much as I said he was the gravy a couple of weeks ago, he's now that throw rug in the middle of the living room that brings it all together. Like, having a healthy Sammy Watkins doing his job, making plays, and being a force out there and healthy, that changes the dynamic of this offense a lot.
A throw rug, huh?
Yeah.
Like, it really accents everything else in the room.
No, it brings
well.
It together. A good throw rug ties the room
Ryan,
together.
I think you nailed it earlier in the show when you said that. Yeah. Yeah. You're like, it was like adding that lamp.
It's not really a lamp. I don't think a lamp brings a room together, unless it's a leg.
I mean, it may be like a couple of end tables.
No, I think the rug. I think the
like
throw rug.
Like a good
rug.
Wall art.
I think the rug brings
like
the room
wrought
together.
Iron.
Dogs playing poker.
Now, the dogs playing poker thing, that definitely brings the room together.
You think Sammy Watkins is a picture of dogs playing poker?
No, I think he's the rug on the floor that brings the room together where you walk in, you go, wow, okay, now I see how it's all tied
in. It really popped.
Yeah.
This really
popped. Sammy popped last week for me. I hope he can stay like this, man. I think he's important. I think it's important to have him healthy. I mean, how good would it be to see a healthy Sammy Watkins the rest of the way? Mm-hmm. We've never seen it.
That rug really tied the room together, did it not?
See?
It did. It really did.
Sometimes dogs poop on the rug. I have a hard time. I just have a hard time trusting that Sammy Watkins is at each and every week. I feel like he's, to me, he is, and he's an added bonus.
Wait
and if
minute,
I
I'm
get something.
Now, is he the dog poop on the rug?
I don't know. Dogs poop on rugs. It might be a separate conversation. I just wish I was to that point, Bob, where I could count on that every week.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's I understand
the, that's
that.
The problem that I just, I, yes. If he's doing his thing and Travis is doing his thing and Tyreek's this offense is outstanding and very difficult to stop. I feel like there are much more reliable components of this offense and I have to get way down the pecking order before I get to Sammy Watkins, which to me leads me to just not trust that it can happen all the time, that it's a bonus if it does.
Right.
I wish I could move him up that pecking order. I can't. He's way down on it still for me, but
he had a great performance.
Had a great performance last week, and then obviously the week one was tremendous. I'd love to see a little more consistency. He's that guy consistently, and it wasn't huge numbers last week, right? It was just very important spots of the game. If he becomes just that, then I'm good with it.
Yeah,
absolutely good with it.
Time for another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
But one thing you got to understand, Pat is a competitive kid. So Pat's going to come early and stay late regardless, you know, regardless of the task at hand. But I know that he went down there and worked his tail off because nothing is more important to Pat than being out there and playing and competing with his teammates.
That was another edition of Doting on Mahomes.
Come in early, stay late.
Oh, yeah.
That's everything you want to hear.
Out.
I love it.
Look, the Duke game isn't even crowded. That's what it's all about, man. That's what it's all about. Coming in early, staying late, and getting in that extra work. As you said during that, Eric Bieniemy's going to be a great head coach. I go, yeah, he says cliches better than anybody else, doesn't he?
Well, he puts his own twist on the cliche. It's good.
I mean, it really sounds like he's saying something of substance.
I'm just saying, when he's a head coach, he's down.
That's pretty exciting stuff.
That is exciting.
He's got it nailed. He'll go in and you go, yeah. You'll nod your head. You're like, man, this Eric Bieniemy is good. And then you
walk
listen to it
go,
again. You go, he didn't say a damn
say
thing.
A damn thing. But the way he said it, with the conviction that he said it
and
the way he has control of the room, that's what you want in a leader and a head coach.
That's what you want in a coach or a general manager, that they talk for 5 minutes and say absolutely nothing.
No, but imagine him in a team meeting.
That's what I really
like.
Like
as a head coach. Perfect.
You're going to walk out of there pretty fired up.
Like,
what did he say?
Guy, darn straight.
I don't know what he said, but I'm fired up. Go back and listen to it. He didn't really say anything, but man, I'm fired up.
That's right. I think he's got a lot of attributes to be a head coach.
Absolutely does.
It's like what Jameis Winston told everyone he's going to eat a W.
That made no sense, though. That was just stupid.
It just fired me up, though.
No, it didn't. Yeah. No, did you see all the players look at him like, what?
I don't understand what this
what
means.
Are you talking
about? You're more perplexed than fired up.
You can't just come up with a saying and then just like try to use it in that kind of context.
Right.
Whenever you're being filmed and you have players around you and all these other things, you can't just like come up with a saying.
Well, I don't know. A certain Hank Stram.
Kick the donkey in the teeth, boys. Don't do this.
Keep matriculating the ball down the field, boys. Keep matriculating the ball down the field.
Kick the donkey in the teeth.
I'm going to eat this W. You're going to do what?
Yeah, go for it.
Can we just put it in the cupboard or something?
Where do you work out that, though? Where do you work out the kinks to that? Like, you can't do that on a Tuesday in a team meeting. All right, guys, we're going to eat this W.
I mean, maybe you try it on a couple of your friends first. You go out the night before the game.
So you go with your crew, that's your fall guy.
And they go, that's a good idea.
No, your boys are going to tell you
they're
stupid.
They'll totally eat the W. Go ahead, Jameis. Go for it. Yeah, you know.
You think they're going to set it up for failure?
Yeah,
of course.
Yes.
Love it. They'll love the W. Never going to come back to haunt you.
This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We play a little Chiefs win if next.
Chris, how was the injury, and did you feel like after the game, was there extra soreness?
Fesco in the morning.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.